defending your freedom every single day. From the GunBroker.com studios, this is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Here's your host, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense from the GunBroker.com studios. It's day after Trash Day. Did you have fun yesterday, Wednesday, with me on Trash Day? Wednesday's garbage day at Armed American Radio Ranch, so I kind of thought, what a great day. It goes hand in hand with some of the crappy stories I've got to deal with all day. So on Wednesdays, we now take out the trash. As of right now, I think we've been doing this now for three Wednesdays in a row officially on garbage day on Wednesdays. I have yet to put anybody in the recycle bin. So far, the trash, garbage, anti-gun stories I've been telling you are not recyclable. They're goners. They're going right out with the trash. Yesterday, Virginia, I want to finish that story because yesterday we took Virginia out with the trash, Governor Northam and his phony session. Well, something I was unaware of yesterday at the time we were live, and it wasn't until I checked my emails after the program, Governor Northam, not only did he go out with the trash, the grassroots efforts in Virginia took Governor Northam out with the trash as well. Let me read you something from the Gun Owners of America. Anti-gun Virginia governor swings for the fences, winds up striking out big time. The showdown in the Old Dominion ended as soon as it began. Governor Ralph Northam set out to use the recent Virginia Beach mass shooting to his political advantage. We know that. We talked about it here on the program. He called, but what did he do? He called the legislature back into action, right? With one objective, to pass a litany of gun control proposals. Over 30 gun control proposals were made in that very brief moment in time on Tuesday when the legislature was called back into session, special session by the governor. Now, I read you some of the titles of those bills. None of them had anything to do with Virginia Beach. None of them. It would just, you give a Democrat gun grabber the opportunity to throw a Democrat gun grabber socialist bill out there, they're going to do it. This had nothing to do with Virginia Beach. This was a joke by the, he was either blackface or Klan hood wearing governor. We know that to be the case. To just push public off of him, push the public perception, or push the public spotlight off of him and exploit what happened in Virginia Beach to make himself look good to Bloomberg money and the anti-gun campaign in this country. And it failed miserably. Here's why. The legislature met briefly and then quickly adjourned. Instantly. Now, somebody, and we're going to call this name out. I mentioned him yesterday, and it was the Republican Senate Majority Leader, Tommy Normant. This guy's got to go. Virginia, you're listening to the show. He has to go. What happened was he got hammered. I told you yesterday, Normant introduced two gun control proposals that he was offering as a middle ground proposal. That's what rhinos do. They offer middle ground proposals to Democrat socialist gun grabbers. And as of course, the Gun Owners of America calls him just that. And I quote, of course, leave it to Republican rhinos to always be willing to counter anti-gun Democrats with a, get this, constructive Republican alternative proposal. Constructive starts with a C. Republican starts with an R. Alternative starts with an A. Proposal starts with a P. C-R-A-P spells crap. Constructive Republican alternative proposal. Thankfully, not all the Republicans were on board. Senate Majority Whip Bill Stanley resigned his leadership position the very moment Normant did that, he called Normant's actions a great betrayal. Then Normant decided to respond and pulled back. And in a moment, Normant said, wow, he says, shot. Here's what he said. I do not support nor will I support any measure that restricts the constitutional rights of law-abiding citizens. After he got tons and tons and tons of calls from the grassroots. Here's the way the Gun Owners of America translated it. Wow, I really got a lot of calls and emails from constituents in my district and gun owners around the state, and I realize now that I really goofed. Thank God for the grassroots efforts, or Virginia would be in a whole world of more crap right now. Constructive Republican alternative proposals, right? I love that. Here's the key takeaway from all of this. Elections have consequences. I told you what we saw happen in Virginia over the last few days was a microcosm of what we're going to see occur in 2020. This is what the Democrats want for you. Don't you ever forget it. Now, let me go to my guest, my only guest for the day, the gun writer, Lee the Gun Writer Williams down in Sarasota at the Herald Tribune. Lee, how the heck are you, brother?
Well, doing really well, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. What do you think of that constructive Republican alternative proposal? Isn't that great crap? That's exactly what
That's
a rhino
great.
Does, right?
That's exactly what it is. I'm very thrilled with what happened to Northam. He can call him in, but he can't make him do anything.
No,
so we're celebrating that here.
This is why election. This is a prime example of why elections have consequences. Now there are special elections coming up, off-year elections coming up in November, in Virginia. They control the House and Senate by a hair, by a hair. And if they lose it, guess what would have happened? Elections have consequences, listener. It's imperative. This is why we have to maintain majorities. Did you want to throw anything else on that? I mean, it was great to see the Republican rhino get shut down, Normant, yesterday, and then have to eat his words. And it's a power. And I want to give hats off to Philip Van Cleve and the Virginia Citizens Defense League and the Gun Owners of America for working in unison together to really squash Northam. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, it was a grassroots effort that did it. And people think, well, we can't do anything. We you know, our politicians are, they're not listening to us. No, this is exactly proof that what you do by signing petitions, by showing up, by wearing the right kind of shirt, it will send a message. I think Cam was up there running around too, wasn't he? Cam Edwards?
I believe he was. Yeah, there were a lot of people there. National Rifle Association had a lot of folks there. GOA was there. The NRA had a big contingency. So there was a lot of people there that stepped up by the thousands to get this done. Now, you had a lot of screechers out there, too. Moms Demand Action Bunch, okay? The Action Moms were there. Bloomberg Money was there. And, of course, this was nothing but a dog and pony show put on by Northam in a hunt for Bloomberg wallet money, right?
Exactly, 100%. He wanted some of that, too.
Well, he failed miserably, and he failed because of the grassroots efforts. Boy, if this doesn't show why it's important to be a member of your state's grassroots organization, I don't know what does. And in fact, when it comes to elections, Lee, what happened in Virginia points out the importance. I mean, you get one swing vote the wrong way, and Northam's got a couple gun bills on his desk. I mean, it's that simple. So
exactly.
Elections have consequences. I'm going to assume you agree with that.
Yeah, I certainly do. I hate the term off-year election because it means it somehow devalues it. Every single election is important. And not only did Northam fail miserably, he failed very publicly, too. And that's exactly what needs to happen. This is out in front of God and everybody, and they handed him his hat with something in it that doesn't really need to be said on your radio.
Yeah, well, that's good. Don't say it. FCC might get mad. You know how they are. Here's what GOA said about the quote-unquote off-year elections. And I know I kind of don't like that term either, but let me explain to you, listener, what that means. Some of you might not understand. What are we talking about? When you're outside of a presidential election every 4 years, an off-year election is the 2 years in between. You've got now a very bizarre, it's not just that, but in Virginia you right now have a state has off-year. This is your state elections are off-year. You have elections right now for both chambers this coming November. In just a few months, which is unusual. The Republicans hold a narrow majority in both chambers in Virginia, and the state has off-year elections this November. As in most states, Democrats are the party of gun control. So what happens if gun owners sit out the election in Virginia? Not just Virginia, but across the country next year. You saw how close that was, Lee. I mean, you've got a Republican. You've got the Republican, the majority leader in the Republican-controlled Senate by a hair. By a hair, putting out these, as they call crap. I love those Republican alternative proposals. All right. Which is a bunch of crap. And in fact, to use that acronym, and we will from now on, that's wonderful. But this is a Republican who did pretty much what Scott did down in your state in Florida. I'm still trying to figure that out. Who is Normant trying to appease in Virginia? And who did Scott try to appease? Go ahead.
It's exactly what it is. I firmly believe Scott was acting because of media pressure. He buckled and he caved because of the media pressure that he was receiving, which would have waned. I'm still trying to figure out what Norman, who he's trying to appease up there and why he did that. Because I did not see the type of massive 24/7 national cable TV coverage there like we had down here.
No, it didn't get a lot of that because the Democrats knew they were going to lose this one. They knew that. They knew the Republican controlled the legislature. I think that's why you didn't see a lot of national press. However, if you were in Virginia, the television screens were cranking. The ads were all over the place. The moms were screeching. Bloomberg was spending a ton of money. If you were in Virginia, you were plugged in. So it is possible maybe that he was capitulating to local statewide media because he is a state senator. That's possible. He's not running for federal office. I don't know. That remains to be seen. Regardless, he got shut down and he got taught a huge lesson. So kudos to Virginia. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me and my daughter yesterday regarding law enforcement. You're going to find it fascinating. Don't go away. We're going to get Lee's perspective right after this.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
You're in handcuffs. Your kids and spouse are crying as you're loaded into a cop car. But you did nothing wrong. How could this happen? You're the good guy. All you did was legally protect your family from an attacker. If you think this couldn't happen to you, think again. Fortunately, though, the United States Concealed Carry Association is there to protect you. Not only do they resolve these situations for their members, but they also prevent them from happening in the first place. With resources like their free guide, 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. Learn what to say and what not to say in the aftermath of a self-defense incident. To get your free guide, 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive, just visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your free guide today at BeTheirProtector.com.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
Get a 2-pack of my pillow premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-978-9358 and use promo code AAR.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Tired of leather holsters not holding up to EDC? Wouldn't it be great if your holster fit multiple handguns? Let me tell you about 1791 Gun Leather. With 100% American heavy native steer hide, leather artisans handcraft distinctive 1791 Gun Leather into multi-fit IWB and OWB holsters. Order now and enjoy quality, versatility, and the pleasant leather aroma. Call 800-407-1791 or go to 1791gunleather.com for an affordable, distinctive holster that'll last a lifetime.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is being sponsored by GunBroker.com, the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammo, and related accessories. That's GunBroker.com. Welcome back to the show. Armed American Radio from the, I love this, I've been saying this now for the last, what, since July 1st, so we've been going 11 days now. Today is the 11th, I lose track of time. Today is the 11th, according to the old watch there. Yes, it is. The 11th, and according to the computer screen. Lee, today's the 11th, right?
It is, sir, all day.
All day, like it is, better be all day long, or we're in some weird parallel universe. The GunBroker.com studios. Lee, you know that, but effective July 1st, and you just heard the rejoinder coming in. I've been saying this since July 1st. I love that rejoinder, and I spoke to an officer yesterday in Tombstone, Arizona, who is yet again doing something else on GunBroker. So I'm telling you, man, this is a really great place to visit with over a million, Lee, GunBroker.com, over a million live auctions a day. That's just, it's hard to wrap your head around that.
It is, and it's crack. The minute you get on that website, I hope you don't have plans for a while.
Yeah, you know, GunBroker. I'm assuming you have a GunBroker account yourself, right? I do.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great site.
It really is like gun crack, you know? It's pretty much what it is. It's addictive, because you can get everything there. Okay, GunBroker.com, we could talk about that forever, too, because it's some really fun stuff going on. But, Lee, I had an incident with my daughter yesterday. Let me start this out. So I take this very, very seriously. I don't need to remind you, Lee, or remind you, listener, that I am 100% supportive of law enforcement. I have a lot of very close friends that are law enforcement. I am sick to my stomach what has been happening to law enforcement since Barack Obama began the war on cops. And I can take it all the way back to Boston preceding that stupid, ridiculous beer summit. The whole hands up, don't shoot lie. Everything. We can go back and fight that battle if you want, but it's not worth it. I'm right. Anybody that disagrees with me on that is wrong. Barack Obama started the war on cops. Lee, you want to jump in? Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's exactly when it began. It's sickening. It's absolutely sickening. Having had a badge in my billfold for a while, what he did, he has devalued this profession. He's made it more dangerous for law enforcement officers out there who are nonstop 24/7 trying to crush crime. He's made it infinitely more dangerous.
And my support for law enforcement is well known on this radio program and my monster broadcast for 10 years. Having said that, sometimes you have some run-ins with law enforcement that need to be challenged. Let me tell you what happened yesterday. And I've got a 16-year-old daughter. She'll be 17 in November. She has her father today, by the way, because I had a firearm on my person in November of 2002. That's why my daughter still has me. That's why my son would later be born, because I had a gun. But that's a different story as well. You can read about it in my first book, Lessons from Armed America. I digress. But I taught my daughter how to drive a couple years ago. We went through the whole permit process. You just start in parking lots. You know the whole routine. On her 16th birthday, we got her in and got her driver's license. And she's driving around. We got her little Kia Forte. Nice little car. Perfect little car for her. Great deal. And every once in a while, Lee, as dad, I want to get out and drive with her to make sure that she's still doing the right things right and keep up with her as she's been driving. She's been driving now about a year on a license, a year prior to that on a permit. And she's a great driver. She really is. But she makes some mistakes from time to time. Yesterday, we were out doing just that. I had some errands to run, and she said, Dad, I don't want to drive anymore. You drive. So I left the AT&T store, and I don't mind driving the little Kia. It's actually mine. It's registered to me. I just let her drive it. And we came around the corner back by a traffic light, back by a Home Depot, so I could get a shortcut out of an AT&T store and a Starbucks. I was sitting at the traffic light. Light turned green. I made a left, and I had about a three-mile ride straight up the road to get to the traffic light to make a left that would take me another mile and a half down the road to the entrance of my neighborhood. No sooner than I turned left out of Home Depot, I have no idea where this cop came from. He was not behind me while I was waiting to turn left from Home Depot at the traffic light onto the main road. I can only think, in hindsight, that he blew through the red light as I made a left turn. All of a sudden, in my rearview mirror, I've got a grill. So if I had tapped my brakes, he was going to hit me. I could have brake checked him and sent both of us swirling. This guy got up my satellite radio moment word at a high rate of speed instantly and intentionally. My daughter's looking at the side view mirror. She says, Daddy, you're going to get pulled over. I said, for what, making a left turn? I did was enter the road. She goes, I don't know, but you're going to get pulled over. This guy, Lee, long story short, stayed up me. I couldn't see anything but windshield when I looked in the mirror. I couldn't even see the hood. Now, we were getting ready to pass the local police department headquarters about a mile and a half up the road. It was halfway up the road from where we were going. And he stayed on me. I thought, he's getting ready to pull me over. Well, he's got plenty of time to pull me over. I thought maybe he's waiting until there was an area that I could pull over, because where we were, I couldn't. He never did light me. He stayed on me the entire time like that. It was extremely intimidating. I, at one point, looked out the back, you know, out the mirror and put my arm up, like, what are you doing? It was a two-lane road. He couldn't get around. He could have passed me if he wanted to. He was a cop. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. He didn't. I was going about 2 to 3 miles at that point, right at the speed limit, 2 to 3 miles over, 2 to 3 miles under, in that range. Certainly wasn't speeding at all. And as I got closer to the traffic light where I was going to make a left, I signaled and got in the left turn lane when he jumps out behind me to the right and makes a right and goes down into town. And that's when I noticed it was a cop out of a completely different jurisdiction. It was a Cobb County police officer in a Cobb County police cruiser. I was in Cherokee County. At which point I went, oh, no, 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 no. And I told my daughter, this is when you have to take a stand. So I pulled the car over, because we have a no phone in the car law in Georgia, which I completely disagree with. That's another show. I pulled the car over, got on my phone, and I called Cobb County, and I complained like nobody's business. Lee, here's what my main complaint was. That could have been a very dangerous encounter, an extremely dangerous encounter. Had I not had my daughter with me, I would have slowed that car down and pulled off the side of the road and asked that. I would have pulled that officer over and asked him what the hell was going on. The reason I didn't was twofold, because I had my daughter in the car with me, 16 years old. I didn't want there to be any hassle. Number two, I was lawfully carrying a sidearm, and I'm not going to confront a police officer who, for whatever reason, is doing what he's doing on the side of a road while I'm armed. I'm not going to do that. Instead, I did what I did, and I issued a formal complaint with the Cobb County Police Department. They were very interested in my complaint, by the way. I was on the phone with them for 20 minutes. They were asking all of the right questions. When they asked whether or not I wanted a call back from the sergeant after they followed up, I said, no, I don't. I just simply want to know that you're going to do something about it. Then that cop gets a spanking. I want to know what the hell. You know, I don't care. I know what happened because I was there. Lee, my one response to her was, here's the deal, lady. You guys got issues now. I'm a huge supporter of law enforcement. That makes you look terrible to the public. If that were anybody but me, God knows what could have happened. Lee, jump in here. Why on God's green earth would an officer have done that, number one? And number two, did I do the right thing by issuing a complaint?
First of all, there are great 99.9% of the law enforcement officers in this country do an extremely good job. There are bad apples in every profession.
Of course.
And absolutely, couldn't agree more. Following too closely to me, brother, which it sounds like this guy was doing, you should know, and your listeners should know, that causes as many accidents as excessive speed does. It's an extremely dangerous practice. We are always told that, you know, when you're in your patrol car, marked patrol car, you should serve as a role model for other drivers. Your driving should set an example. Now, I will tell you this: was it a younger guy?
Let me stop you. Let's finish the conversation after the break. It was so. And I was not paying attention. Let's go to the break, and we'll be right back to finish that with Lee.
Imagine you're walking through a parking lot at dusk. You're with your children. As you approach your car, you see a large man closing in. Something seems wrong. Something is wrong. You calmly move in front of your kids and turn towards the attacker. Your mind flashes back to everything you've learned. The man is now 30 feet away. You don't make a move yet, but you can feel the weight of your 9mm on your hip. You hear yourself confidently issue the command, "Stay back," and then it happens. The attacker understands what only criminals can comprehend. He has picked the wrong target. He quickly turns around. "What's wrong?" says your child as you get in the car. "Nothing. Nothing's wrong, honey. Everything is fine." Get a gun and master its use. The Self-Defense Shield from the USCCA will help you understand gun safety and self-defense. The USCCA Self-Defense Shield gives you education, training, and a tenacious legal defense. It's your path to become a responsibly armed American. Discover how a gun and your family are the perfect fit. Visit freegunguide.com. That's freegunguide.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends. You can find every episode of Into the Fray at intothefrayvideo.com. That's intothefrayvideo.com.
We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family, and then he's the one arrested. Thanks to our court system, this happens a lot, and that's exactly what can happen to you unless you're fully prepared. But you're not alone. USCCA is here to help. Simply go to usccaonair.com to learn more about the education, training, and legal protection you need to become a responsibly armed American. With their education and training, you'll learn how to detect attackers before they see you, how to survive a mass shooting, exactly what to say to the police after an incident, and a whole lot more. With their legal protection, you'll get access to over $1 million in civil and criminal defense funds, the USCCA Critical Response Team, and a nationwide network of experienced attorneys. Plus, there's always a special bonus when you join. So head over to usccaonair.com right now to reveal what you can get for free today. It could be a free knife or even the chance to win a brand new gun. Just visit usccaonair.com to find out. Once again, that's usccaonair.com.
One warm summer day, Richard was grilling out with his family in the backyard of his suburban home. His brother stepped away to grab something from his car in the front yard and didn't come back. Feeling suspicious, Richard went to go check on him and was horrified by what he found. His brother was being beaten nearly to death in an attempted carjacking. Thinking quickly, Richard pulled out his gun and scared the attackers away. Then the police arrived, and Richard was arrested.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to do? Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say? If you answered anything other than yes to these questions, you need to visit BeTheirProtector.com right now. There you'll find the USCCA's free guide, 6 things that could land you behind bars or help keep you out of them. Visit BeTheirProtector.com now and get your free copy of 6 things you didn't know would happen when the police arrive right now. That's BeTheirProtector.com. One more time, BeTheirProtector.com.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, segment 3. We're going to continue. Lee, I'm sorry I had to cut you off. The conversation's compelling, and I wasn't paying that much attention to the clock. But nonetheless, here we are, segment 3. We keep rolling on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. I was explaining, if you're just jumping in, a very bizarre encounter I had with law enforcement yesterday. A law enforcement officer out of his jurisdiction who I didn't know that. He was so far up my patootie in the automobile I was driving that I couldn't see anything but his windshield. It was extremely dangerous, not to mention the fact it was extremely intimidating. And it wasn't until we parted ways, I went left and he went right, that I noticed it was an out-of-jurisdiction, different county police officer who didn't belong doing what he was doing to me in the first place. Yet again, never did blue light me or light me up, and I don't know why it happened, but let's just say the officer was riding my tail for a significant distance of approximately 3 to 4 miles for no apparent reason, Lee, and I complained, of course, to the county. It was about a 20-minute call. I was very impressed with their response to me and wanting to know whether or not I wanted follow-up from the sergeant. Lee, go ahead with your thought. You said before the break, I believe you were saying following too closely is very dangerous practice. I couldn't agree more. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's almost as dangerous as excessive speed. Following too closely causes a lot of accidents. And like I said, we were always told when you're in a marked unit, Of course, things are different when I was working narcotics. When you're in a market, your driving should serve as an example for the public. You should be a role model. Signal every lane change. Don't follow too closely. Having been in law enforcement, it sounds like this guy was under a little bit of pressure. I mean, first of all, there's no excuse for that poor driving. That should never have happened. But having been there, done that, you know, cops today have a lot on their minds. There's a lot of pressure. Most of it is internal. Most of it is coming from within the department. The officers face a lot of crap. A lot of them are scared to use force for fear of being, you know, targeted in by the media. It's a difficult, difficult job. Sounds like this guy should have just pulled over, maybe had a cup of coffee, maybe relaxed. Sounds like he wanted to get back to his jurisdiction a little too quickly and ended up driving like driving like he should not have.
Yeah, let's say first of all, I would challenge the cup of coffee. I would say bourbon would have been better. Would have been a better choice. Maybe a bourbon would have been a little bit. I don't know that he needed a cup of coffee after that. The other issue was he was actually coming away from the county that he of his jurisdiction. So I'm going to assume he more than likely lived in the county that I was traveling through at the time, which was Cherokee County. So, having said that. Let me tell you what my response is. I don't give a damn. And let me tell you why I don't give a damn. And let me tell you why I complained. That could have been my 16-year-old daughter driving that car.
Yeah.
And not me. Now, I've got a hell of a lot more experience behind the wheel than my daughter does. And I was intimidated by the antics. And that's what it was. Antics. Having said that, had that been my 16-year-old daughter, she would have been petrified. Petrified. To the point she could have made a mistake, to the point she could have hit her brakes, to the point she would have been so intimidated looking in the rearview mirror, she could have swayed over to another lane. An inexperienced driver, that could have been an extremely dangerous situation. Now, here's even more important than that, is what does that tell my daughter or anybody else who's in that situation about cops? What kind of impression does that leave to someone who doesn't do what I do, who doesn't have the same respect for law enforcement that I have? I made the call and the complaint out of my respect for law enforcement because it made me sick to think that what that could have done, had that not been me, that's not going to change my views of law enforcement. I know everything you just said. I spoke to two different law enforcement officers at great length yesterday about totally different topics that are great friends of mine. One of them about this very topic who said essentially the same thing you did. But that's not going to change my view. But boy, it sure could. And I told the woman on the phone, the perception that leaves with somebody is awful. That's terrible. You guys don't need that out on the street. Right or wrong to go that far, Lee, on my end?
You're absolutely right. He's not going to be fired. He's probably not going to get a day off. But he will be called into the watch commander's office, and they'll remind him to drive a little bit better. Look, and that's exactly what he needs. Just a little course correction. It's a minor course correction. Let him know that, hey, you know, you're on duty 24/7. You're visible to the public. You're representing our agency. Take it down a notch or two, because a lot of cops, and I was guilty of this too, they forget the fact that they're behind you in a marked unit. They forget how intimidating that is, especially if they're only a couple feet off your rear bumper, man.
Yeah, it was closer than a couple feet. I mean, much closer than a couple feet. This guy had the on the grill. It slips my mind.
Push bumper.
He had the push bumper on the front. And I'm telling you right now, he was inches, 2-3 inches at that. I mean, I literally could not see the back of his. All I could see was his windshield. So had that, I was more concerned about that being my daughter. That's what angered me. But it was because she was in the car, and that's had I not been armed, I'd have slowed down, and then pulled over and seen if he pulled up behind me, and I would have just politely, like, what's the problem? Why are you doing this? Are you pulling me over? You're in a now. Let me ask you another question. Out of his jurisdiction, you got to love this, right? Because I know I'm the same way. I'm cynical, too. Everybody in prison's innocent, right, Lee? Nobody did anything wrong. They're all innocent. I'm telling you now, and I'm asking you to believe me, as I turned left, I was in a Kia Forte.
I didn't turn out, peeling rubber, spitting blue tire smoke, and I wasn't going over the speed limit. In fact, when he pulled up behind me, I was still 5 miles an hour under the speed limit. I'm asking you to believe the fact that I truly was innocent of doing anything wrong when he came like a bat out of hell. And I say out of nowhere, and that's not true. There's no such thing as a car accident when you hear somebody say, my God, that guy came out of nowhere. No, he didn't. Somebody wasn't paying attention. The car was not invisible. I didn't see him. Is it possible he was behind me? No, because he came up behind me too quick. I'm believing that either the light changed quickly or he ran the light and came up behind me, one of the two. But he was not behind me while I was sitting there waiting to make a left turn. Having said that, I don't know. I guess my question is, did I handle it properly? Should I have done anything differently? And I just put the exclamation point with you as former law enforcement on for anybody else listening. What should you do in that situation? How did I handle it? What would you recommend? Let me just leave it at that and then we'll move on.
Were you open carrying or concealed?
Well, I was openly carrying my sidearm, but it would have been easy to conceal. All I had to do was pull my shirt over it.
Yeah, kudos to not having any kind of confrontation. I mean, not that you would not have been within your rights to flag them down, wave them over, and make mention of that. We both know what could have happened had you had done that. And I, for one, value your radio show, value your friendship.
Well,
so
listen,
I'm glad you didn't do that.
Let's use that to segue into a different topic. Let's talk about escalation, de-escalation. These are conversations I've really enjoyed over the years with Rob Pincus. And I'm not sure that you and I have had the conversation to this extent. So let's go there. That did cross my mind. I could have stopped. I could have said, would he have pulled over?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He may have just blown by me because, as you said, he was having a bad day. And, okay, I get it. I had bad days, too. I tend not to tailgate somebody like that and cause an accident if I'm having a bad day, at least if I'm not thinking about it. You know, but maybe I have before. I guess we're all human. But assuming that he did pull over and I did stop and I was armed, that's not a smart thing to do. Period, even if I was concealed, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was flagged down a lot when you're in law enforcement. People will wave you down, and your guard is always up. You know, what is going on here is what constantly going through your head. Is this going to be some type of ambush? Is this going to be some type of assault? What the hell is going on? So I'm glad you didn't go there. I'm glad you didn't do it. Law enforcement has a chain of command for this very reason. If one of the lower rungs of the chain is broken or maybe needs a little course correction or fixing, go up the chain of command and find out, you know, that's where you're going to get your relief from. That's where you're going to get things taken care of the right way without anybody needing to be confronted.
Escalate, de-escalate. Escalation and de-escalation, two very, very important words when you're talking about law enforcement. Lee, I didn't really plan on going that direction, but when we come back from this break, I do want to finish that. I think the escalation, de-escalation is a great topic to talk about. You being former law enforcement as well, I'd like to go there briefly. We'll end on that note right now. Then I want to talk about Facebook. Uh-oh, what about Facebook? Back right after this.
We've all put ourselves in a potentially unsafe situation. Whether it's commuting at an odd hour, parking the car in that badly lit garage, or taking that nighttime run. So let's be real. We're not going to stop doing any of those things. The Taser Pulse Plus is here to help you approach every day with confidence and give you that backup if you ever need it. With an effective safety distance of up to 15 feet, delivering a 30-second cycle of muscular incapacitation, the Pulse Plus now has even more advanced safety features. It connects to the mobile safety app Noonlight to dispatch emergency services as soon as the Pulse Plus is triggered. No fumbling for the phone, no freezing up in fear. Pull the trigger and help is on the way. Protect yourself and your family with the leading brand in less lethal self-defense technology, Taser Self-Defense. Visit buy.taser.com and use the code AAR for 10% off the purchase of a consumer Taser device. That's buy.taser.com with the code AAR for 10% off.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Do you have 2 minutes for a great tip concerning defensive firearms or the concealed carry lifestyle? Check out Into the Fray, a weekly video blog hosted by Kevin Michalowski, editor of Concealed Carry Magazine. Into the Fray covers every aspect of self-defense, from legal and ethical issues to the latest gear and tactics. Accurate, direct, and easy to share with all your friends, you can find every episode of Into the Fray at IntoTheFrayVideo.com. That's IntoTheFrayVideo.com.
The Gun Box is the ultimate, quick, and accessible handgun safe, ideal for securing your firearm while not carrying on your person. Our cutting-edge technology and innovative safety features provide peace of mind while storing your handgun on a nightstand, desk, countertop, or anywhere you might need fast access. With a simple swipe of a finger, press of a custom key code, or the wave of an RFID card or fob, the Gun Box opens in seconds. Our modern design and sleek lines not only make it a great addition to any space, but is the perfect reason to bring your everyday carry gun out from hiding in the closet or the basement safe. Asking yourself, will my concealed carry weapon fit in the Gun Box? The answer is yes, as the Gun Box fits most full-size handguns, with room to spare for extra magazines, a blade, and other items you carry for protection. The Gun Box was designed to be your go-to gun safe and is absolutely the best alternative for fast and reliable handgun storage. Visit us at thegunbox.com and use code AAR at checkout for 10% off any purchase of $259. Order your Gun Box today at thegunbox.com and use code AAR for 10% off.
Would you like to join a community of over 2 million like-minded people for free? Well, now is your chance. Just find the official USCCA page on Facebook and click like. You'll instantly be connected with thousands of like-minded folks looking for real talk on self-defense and freedom. Discuss hot topics, find great resources, and voice your opinion where it will matter. At the USCCA official Facebook page, you'll find everything you need for your concealed carry lifestyle. The USCCA on Facebook, community, resources, and so much more.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio, I'm going to do what my good friend Kurt Schilling says. I'm not going to slide into home. No, we're going to close it out. This segment already, time is flying by. My good friend, Lee the Gun Writer Williams. You can read everything he writes at thegunwriter.com. And we're going to talk about something he wrote about, which is also something I experienced with Facebook coming up. But I want to close out the conversation on escalation or de-escalation with a law enforcement officer. I did not pull over because I was armed. That was a smart thing. I knew that. The last thing I needed was my daughter to see her father involved in a confrontation with a cop who was clearly having some type of attitude going on. What I was wearing, because I can see the email coming in now, Lee. Dude, you weren't doing anything wrong. You were lawfully carrying your gun. You're right about that. I absolutely was. But there are other circumstances involved. What I was wearing made it very easy to see. The reason my gun was open was because of the type of shirt that I was wearing. It was easy for it to ride up without my knowing. And that's totally legal in the state of Georgia, by the way. I carry openly on a fairly regular basis, mostly concealed. So I wouldn't have stopped for those reasons. Now, in a situation, maybe where you, what if I had gotten pulled over and I was armed, okay, and my daughter was in the car? Now we're talking about a whole different ballgame, Lee, that we could spend an hour or two on, but let's just sum it up quickly. I don't have an obligation under state law to notify a police officer that I'm carrying a firearm. I have been pulled over in Georgia, got the ticket, beat the ticket, but had to go to court for it, but was carrying a 1911 at that point,
concealed, undershirt. I never notified the law enforcement officer. I went about my business. I got the ticket, went on the way. I went to court, and I beat the ticket because the officer was wrong. He was wrong on where the speed limit started between 35 and 45. But nonetheless, I won. Ha, ha, ha. That I had to say that because it did feel good to win that in court. I knew I was right. But I didn't notify the officer. In a situation like that, what's your recommendation?
I wouldn't. If you don't have a state requirement where you have to notify law enforcement that you're armed, I would not, because as Brother Rob has pointed out too, I believe it escalates the situation. And why escalate any encounter where two people are armed?
All right. Now, in a situation where, let's assume I was speeding, I glance down, I see the guy taking radar, I look at my, I go, ah, then I see him pull out. He's going to get me. It's obvious what's going on. I pull over. You know why I'm stopping you? Yes, officer, I do. I clocked you doing 55 and a 35, okay, and you're armed. That's really, that's a whole different situation. Now, in a situation I was describing yesterday where this guy is up my tail for no apparent reason at all, and it's intimidating and it's meant to be intimidating, I can make the assumption that this encounter with this law enforcement officer might not go real well, and it becomes my responsibility to de-escalate somewhat, does it not?
Yeah, especially if he's tailgating you, especially if he's young, in a hurry, having a bad day. I would move heaven and earth before I would have any type of confrontation with him.
Yeah, and there are people out there I can tell right now are banging on their tables and, you know, banging on their...
Yeah, it's your right.
And I understand that. I get all that. But what we're talking about here is maybe those of you who are pounding on the dashboard now have time to be thrown on the ground. Because let me tell you who's going to win the confrontation. It ain't going to be you. Ever. You're not going to win the confrontation. Ever. So maybe you have the time to be thrown down on the pavement with a knee in your cheek and a bunch of pebble marks on your face, then to be handcuffed and arrested in front of your 16-year-old because it's your right, which it is. Maybe you have that time. See, these are these conversations. Oh, I'm going to get a ton of email. Mark@armedamericanradio.org. I want all of it. I want the hate mail. I want the love mail. I want it all. I love reading this. We will take this to another show. I promise you. I don't personally have the time to have that done to me. And I don't want to go through the expense and the hassle when it's done to me. I want to go home that day, and so does that officer. And I don't want my daughter seeing anything bad happening to daddy. You understand what I'm saying, Lee? So my objective is just de-escalate. Go ahead.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. You don't need road rash on your face from getting pushed in the pavement. But you hit it earlier. You don't need any of this crap in front of your daughter. You don't need to change her mind and make law enforcement become the enemy, right, in her opinion.
Because law enforcement isn't the enemy. She's stuck on the side of the road at 16. Law enforcement's her friend. That's why I hated the incident to begin with. Had that been her in the car behind the wheel herself at 16, not even having her driver's license for 10 months, that would have been a whole different ballgame than it was with me. It would have frightened her to death. That's why I copped the attitude that I copped and called and complained to Cobb County about that. And I thought it was completely uncalled for, and hopefully it made a difference. All right, Lee, Facebook, grilling while armed is out. You know the book is out. Yes, yours is coming soon. You're going to be getting a signed copy.
Thank you.
You better believe it, because I know you're going to write a really good review about it. I know you will, because it's just
absolutely
that good. But, you know, there's been a grilling while armed Facebook page for years. When all of a sudden, lo and behold, when the book is published and it goes up on the grilling while armed Facebook page with the book cover saying the book is now available on Amazon, I have to jump through hoops and answer all kinds of questions that I've never seen before from Facebook to determine whether or not my page is going to remain up. Not coincidental, was it?
No, not at all. It's part and parcel of a pattern we're seeing where pro-gun folks are being targeted by Facebook. I posted a story on it on my website. I mean, we've long heard the allegations here at the Gun Writer that they were censoring pro-gun content, but until just recently, mid-June, we had no definitive proof.
What was your proof in mid-June?
mid-June, we were averaging, our Facebook page is about 6 years old, and a lot of hard work and a lot of love goes in it because we truly, truly, truly love our readers, especially the likes. Every time we get a like, we're pleased because, as I pointed out in the story, it proves to us that the readers appreciate our content. And we were averaging about 35 or 40 likes per day on the page. We have a professional page, not a Facebook, not a personal one. And then in mid-June, they just stopped. Boom, they ended. Mm-hmm. We plateaued for weeks. And so, I mean, we became introspective. We were looking at our content to see, you know, have we changed our content? Have we changed the frequency from which we post stuff? Found our content hadn't changed. You know, we're posting original content, shared stories of interest, and some, you know, over the top memes. And then on another front, I joke with my readers. I put a post up there with three pictures of your favorite senator, Dianne Feinstein, along with it was on a Friday, along with the admonition that, you know, they should go to the range over the weekend. And if they don't, I was going to post a Feinstein photo retrospective. Well, when Facebook published that post, they fact-checked it. They added Snopes.com stories that showed how allegations against her that she used her influence to get her husband a U.S. Postal Service contract mm-hmm. had been proven false. Well, nobody mentioned that. The Post never mentioned any kind of allegations against the senator. Well, we thought that was odd. And then coupled with the takeaways that, you know, I mean, over the years we've tried to boost our posts, but we can't. This was just 1 + 1 + 1 = 3 for us. We were obviously going through additional censorship, additional scrutiny, not unlike a lot of the big things out there. And I close the story with, you know, as a journalist and a veteran and a proud gun owner, I venerate the First and Second Amendments. And it is mystifying to me, brother, that something as entrenched in the American culture as Facebook would choose to value neither amendment. And quite frankly, I'm a little mad about it.
Yeah, well, your article is great, and it prompted me to want to talk with you about it today. Because I've noticed on the Armed American Radio Facebook page that our growth, my growth on that page, has stopped shy of 100,000 for the last 2 years. It has remained
2 years.
At 2 years, and I am, in fact, losing about 10 to 20 a day for no apparent reason whatsoever. Now, you know, when you post on Facebook, you don't reach what you think you reach. They decide how far out that post is going to go. And that is, yep. They've literally done the same thing to Armed American Radio, I can promise you. And it is frustrating to watch. I could keep talking about this with you forever, Lee, but this program is coming to an end right now. So what I want to do is leave it with this, thegunwriter.com. And you know I'm going to get up and do it again tomorrow. I believe Dave Workman is going to be here with me on Friday. So until we meet on the radio tomorrow, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never, ever, ever leave your cave without your club. And you know something? If you see something you don't like, speak up. Speak your mind. See you on the radio tomorrow.